Welcome to From the Front Porch, a conversational podcast about books, small business, and life in the South. Life is just a lot of everyday adventures. Carol Ryrie Brink, Caddy Woodlawn. I'm Annie Jones, owner of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in beautiful downtown Thomasville, Georgia. And this week, I'm back talking to my mom about books for readers with PG-13 tastes. Before we get started, a thank you to everyone who's left reviews for From the Front Porch. iTunes reviews and ratings are how new listeners can best find out about the show, and as a result, they can find out about our indie bookstore too. Here's a recent review from E. Snow. My favorite. Easily my favorite podcast. The banter is great, book reviews cover a wide range of genres, and Annie is a delight. My favorite episodes are the monthly reading recaps and when Susie is a guest. Thanks for all the great content. Oh, well, you're in for a treat today, E. Snow. Thank you so much. If you haven't left a review, all you have to do is open up the podcast app on your phone, look for From the Front Porch, scroll down until you see Write a Review, and then tell us what you think. Your reviews help us spread the word about not only our podcast, but about our small brick-and-mortar business, too. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Annie Sue.
Welcome back.
Good to be here.
It's been a few months.
Yes.
If you are a new listener of From the Front Porch, or maybe it's been a minute since you've tuned in, Mom appears on the show every few months to talk about her favorite books for PG or PG-13 readers. Mom likes redemptive stories, whether they're fiction or nonfiction. And so we've done this several times. I wanted to let people know that if they, you know, want to listen to past episodes, they could listen to episode 398, episode 416, episode 433, and episode 447. So links to all of those episodes are in the show notes if you just want to go back and listen to Susie books.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It does sound fun. Okay, Mom, you were last on the show in October.
Yes.
So you should have a lot of books to talk to us about today.
I do have a lot of books. I've been like a reading maniac.
A reading machine.
Yeah.
And you've read, it's a wide range of genres.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some page numbers.
Yes.
Man, you've really devoured quite a few books. So what's your first book?
Well, I thought it was funny because when I was on in October, I was reading a Christmas book. Sure. Carrie Winfrey's Christmas.
Yeah.
So then in November, I picked up a summer book.
Sure. Welcome to life as a bookseller.
Because I met Annabelle Monahan.
Yes.
And so I bought the book at your live podcast.
Yes.
When we met. I bought the book same time next summer.
Yep.
And so I read that in November. It was really cute. It was fun. I loved it. It was a delightful read. And I think it is the perfect beach read. It would be a very fun. I enjoyed it in November, but I do think it would be a very fun read for coming up spring break.
Yes.
Trips and
it's
summertime.
It's a rom-com kind of, I guess, perhaps obviously, but I actually think it's just a really lovely tribute to summer and to the beach. I think when she came and was on the live podcast, maybe we talked about this a little bit too, but some of the people in the audience, some of the listeners, they had come because they had read this book in their book club.
Yeah.
And they were from Tallahassee and maybe a couple of surrounding areas, but I think mostly Tallahassee. And those women could not get over how accurate of a representation it was, because they grew up going to St. George Island or going to the coast. And so it really is an homage to beach life, I think, and to beach houses and how the beach makes us feel. Like if you grew up going to the beach in the summer, there was one lady there who I just remember she very distinctly, she was just like, oh, I grew up as a teenager going every weekend. And so this book brought back all of those summer nostalgia feelings.
So I loved it. It was very good, and it was really fun.
Did you read Annabelle's first book, Nora Goes Off Script?
I think I did.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorites.
That was so good.
And then I just read, and actually Kindle On Staff read my ARC, but I could give it to you, too. But I just read her new one that comes out in—
She's got a new one.
Yeah, she's got a new one coming out in June, and it is so close. It might be better than Nora. I can't decide. And I loved Nora Goes Off Script.
Yeah.
But this new one— I'm trying to think of the name of it. Gosh, her latest is so good. Summer Romance. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Summer Romance. So another great book to read during the summer. It comes out in June. So it'd be a good, like you said, beach book, spring break book. But it is just really enjoyable. I thought the characters were really great. And if you liked Nora Goes Off Script, I think you'll be very pleased with Summer Romance.
Well, I can't wait then.
Yeah, you'll really like that.
And plus, she was a delight.
She was a delight.
I just love getting to meet authors.
Yeah.
When they come for your live podcast.
I'll also say this. Carrie Winfrey is the same way. And Eric Thomas has been this way too. Really, people who have come to reader retreats, particularly authors, I hope they have such a pleasant experience. I hope they have such a great time that they feel like one of us from afar. And so every so often, like Carrie Winfrey or Annabelle Monahan or even Eric Thomas will comment on our Instagram.
Aww.
And they're just really supportive
of
the store. And Annabelle is like, she's a long distance cheerleader.
And she was delightful. And actually all of them.
Yeah.
It's been a real treat.
It has been.
To go to your live podcast. So I highly recommend that to anybody that can.
I was about to say, those tickets are probably on sale now unless we sold out. Like if you're listening to this episode and a live podcast sounds fun to you, there may be tickets left because it's soon. It's coming up March 23rd, I think, is our live podcast. So
did you save your mother a seat?
I will make sure we save. Are you and Lisa or and dad? Or I'll make sure we save y'all seats. It's at we're doing it at the Thomasville on Stage and Company this time. So it'll feel like a theater.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And they're gonna put our names on the marquee.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's so cute.
Oh, that's adorable.
I think that's gonna be so fun. So okay, what's next?
Okay. So my next was turned out to be my shelf subscription for January.
Oh, which is always kind of hard.
So I'm really, you know what? It always, January is so hard, but not this time.
Okay, good.
This time was super easy.
Okay.
So I read the book called Fragile Designs by Colleen Coble and loved it. Now here's the scoop. One of the reasons I loved it is because totally PG.
Right, which really sets your mind at ease.
But it really
because you
does.
Feel, I think you and Nancy both feel pressure.
Because I want to give, if I'm going to say it's PG, PG-13, I want to be able to really feel comfortable with other people trusting that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's hard.
That is hard.
So this time for it not to be hard
was
a super treat. Plus the fact that I actually really loved it.
Yeah.
It was, I've never read a book by her before.
I haven't either.
And it was a mystery. There was some murder.
Oh, that's kind of outside the box for
you. Well, yeah, because I was thinking, how do I say PG and murder? But it's true. It was a totally PG book and really had a lot of mystery in whodunit.
Okay.
And this possible Fabergé egg that was discovered. And so
that's fun.
So this book is out now.
Yes.
And people have already received it. So I can talk
no
about
spoilers.
It.
Yeah.
Bit.
You can talk
so,
about it.
So it's about a girl whose husband, police officer husband, is murdered. And she is kind of on her own raising their child.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother. And another reason I love this, it's set in the South.
Mm-hmm.
It's in South Carolina.
Okay.
So her grandmother says, why don't you come on over to Beaufort?
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you come on over to... and you can take this home that I'm living in and maybe we can make it into a bed and breakfast and it would give you a life and it would get, so she comes back to her grandmother's, goes through the attic and discovers this egg. And she loves antiques and stuff. So
I
she
see.
Knows
so
a
she
little
immediately
bit.
Kind of sees.
And so she knows, this could be something incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So she enlists the help of her grandmother's next door neighbor, who happens to be a detective.
A young, handsome detective?
Of course.
I would expect no less.
And so she gets his help, and he doesn't like her very much at first because I think she dated his brother or something like that. So he doesn't really love her so much, but she knows she's got a real... like, help me figure this out. What am I going to do? This thing could be worth lots of money.
Yeah.
And so different dangerous things begin to happen.
Oh.
And the egg she has to, it really does turn out to be one, but it's a Russian egg. And so these Russian mafia gets involved. So really,
yeah,
it was good.
That's fun.
And yeah, it was
really different for you.
It was very different for me. And so I was relieved that it was a PG, but also I really liked it.
It was a good time.
I can't wait to hear if other people liked it too.
Yeah, that's really great. Okay, so Colleen Coble, Fragile Designs.
Yes.
I do just want to say that I have a 9-year-old goddaughter, Shirley, and a couple years ago, she put on her Christmas list, like wish list to her parents, a Fabergé egg.
Oh!
And we all died laughing. And we think it's because we're like she had seen Anastasia or something like that. And so she just was like, a Fabergé egg, please.
Yeah, I'll just take one. Is one all she wanted?
Yeah, just one. okay, so you read, that's so far a rom-com, a mystery. Now what you got?
Okay, well, we're moving into December, which is honestly, it's crazy that I get anything read in December.
Amen.
Because it's just too much. But I actually read 2 Christmas books.
Okay.
So I read Midnight at the Christmas Bookshop by Jenny Colgan.
Oh, you've read her before.
And last Christmas, I think it was, I read Christmas at the whatever the first one was.
Well, oh, you don't have it with you.
That's
I was going to say.
I don't have with me
because she has written so many books that I do think you would probably like her.
I love both.
You read The Christmas Bookshop.
The Christmas Bookshop, and this one is Midnight at The Christmas Bookshop.
Okay, was it just as good?
Yes, it was really cute. Okay. Cute covers.
Are her
fun
books,
Christmas books?
Are her books set in Scotland? Am I making that up?
England.
Okay, all right.
I think England. Anyway, so that's also fun.
Okay,
if you're reading it, you can put a little accent in there if you want to, but it's fun.
Or listen to the audiobook. They'll do the accents for you.
That would be really great.
The accent work for you.
And so after that, then I read Mary Kay Andrews' new book for Christmas called Bright Lights, Big Christmas. And that also was very entertaining.
You like
pretty
her
much
too.
You can, yeah. I haven't read a ton, but I've always liked whatever I've read.
I will also put her in the category of delightful authors. She came pre-pandemic, I guess, and did a lunch with us upstairs at the bookshelf back when upstairs, we could use for events.
And yeah, those were the days.
It wasn't just a shipping facility. But she was really fun, a really fun
Southern
author.
Well, that makes
Southern
me
author.
Really happy.
Yeah.
Because I have read a few. She writes some summer books.
Oh, yeah.
And so I really like her a lot. And this one was great. I would highly recommend it at Christmas time, both of those books.
Okay.
For December.
So some good Christmas reads.
So
that brings us to January 2024.
When in the fall, I guess it was in the fall, you announced your Conquer a Classic.
Yes, we did.
And I thought, well, you know, what are you picking this year? And you picked
Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove. And I went, Lonesome Dove? Well, that sounds like something I might read because backstory, I'm one of 8 children.
Mm-hmm.
So a special thing for me and my daddy was Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
I loved John Wayne. Mm-hmm. I got to go to the outdoor theater and watch John Wayne movies.
Fine.
And on Saturday nights, after I'd gotten ready for church, that means the pink spongy rollers were in my hair, my shoes were polished, my Sunday school lesson was out. I got to sit in Daddy's lap and watch Gunsmoke.
Okay. Yes.
So that was my date night with Dad. Even though the house was full of other people, it was our thing, Westerns. So when I heard this, I didn't know how big this was, but I thought, Lonesome Dove? Okay.
Well, and maybe you were riding high from 2023 when you completed Little Women. Maybe you were trying to fill the Little Women shaped hole in your heart.
I just thought I could do this again, even though that wasn't your Conquer a Classic.
No.
It was to me.
But, and it was a read-along, which Conquer a Classic essentially is a read-along.
Yeah. Well, except I cheated.
Well, we're going to talk about this. So you picked up Lonesome Dove.
I picked up Lonesome Dove.
Which is how many pages?
858. I want to make sure that's clear in
She
there.
Didn't even have to look at her book. She had it memorized.
858.
She had memorized it.
Okay. People should know I'm not a fast reader.
Right.
I'm a very imaginative reader, so I've got this theater, this movie, this theatrical thing going up in my head with most books. And so I looked at this and I went, what have I done?
But I would argue you can be a little self-deprecating about your reading. I would argue you're an avid reader, but we're about to talk about the books you read in January. It's quite a few.
Oh, yes.
So it's not like you're the world's slowest reader.
No, but some of it was pressure for a shelf subscription.
But I will say, other than Little Women, well, I'll ask you, other than Little Women and the Bible, is this the biggest book you've read?
Yes.
Okay. That's great.
It is.
That's fun.
And so did I mention 858 pages?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the scoop. I got my cute, all the little cute paperwork
Thank
for
you.
It.
Thank you. We work hard on that.
I got all the lovely little checklist.
Yeah.
And I started into it and I went, well, this isn't McClintock. This isn't how the West was won. This is different. Mm-hmm. And so I started it and I thought, who was playing these parts? I had to get my people.
Yeah.
And I totally picked Sam Elliott. I love Sam Elliott.
My friend, okay, wait, I do have to tell a funny story about my friend Courtney. She just texted me the other day because she and her husband were watching, I think they were watching Roadhouse. And she texted, I hope she's not going to kill me for saying this on the podcast. She texted me and my friend and she said, guys, I'm watching Roadhouse, which is like an 80s movie. And she said, quite frankly, Sam Elliott can get it. So funny. And I said, and I think I, to be fair, to out myself as well, I texted back and I was like, I think Sam Elliott now can get it. I think he's still a handsome man.
Yes, he is.
Okay, so you had pictured Sam Elliott. I do want to ask, had you seen Lonesome Dove before reading this? Okay.
I had not.
Okay.
But I had to Google then.
Which is scary to do, by the way.
It is scary because
you don't want to spoil it for yourself.
I was in the middle. I wanted to see who played who because I was getting into this and I'm like, this is Sam Elliott. This is, but who is this? Who is Call? Who is?
Let me tell you, I have not looked any of this up.
Oh, okay.
Now you can, I think you can share here. And if you don't want to know who was cast in the 1980s or 1990s Lonesome Dove miniseries, I guess you can skip ahead. But I have refrained from looking this up. But listeners have informed me because you were picturing – who were you picturing Sam Elliott as, just out of curiosity?
Gus.
The chatty one.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know who I was picturing as who, but I did know in my head, I guess much like you had Sam Elliott, I was picturing Tommy Lee Jones somewhere. And so then, yes, the look on your face. So then people messaged me.
You're good.
Because they were like, Annie, you're not going to believe this. So I do know that he played a role, but you know who else I thought about? I thought about Tom Selleck.
I did too.
I thought about Tom Selleck.
Because I love Tom Selleck and he's done a lot of those.
And I think he could have been.
Down Under Western type things.
Yeah, I think he could have been Jake Spooner. Is he a character?
Yes.
The handsome character?
Oh, yes.
Don't tell me anything because mom has already finished this book. I'm over here in the trenches reading it one section at a time as God intended. And mom has already read the whole thing.
I couldn't help it.
I know. You're not alone. Like we've had a couple of folks on Patreon. I even had somebody on Patreon be like, can't you just make this short? Can't you just do this over 6 months?
You shouldn't.
And no, please, do you know me? I was like, no, we've already planned this. Thank
and
you so much.
Besides that, here's two reasons. Mm-hmm. One reason is I get afraid that if I start something and then I get distracted with other shelf subscriptions or other things I want to read, that will I come back to it? Well, first of all, I fell in love with it.
You fell in love with it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you were reading it in the winter, which is when we read Little Women.
That is.
And I think you and I both have slower winters than spring, summer, fall. So now you probably felt like, well, now I have the time.
That's what I did.
Why can't I go ahead?
Okay.
Yeah.
The days are short.
Yes.
The nights are long.
Yes.
And so I read this. I just couldn't hardly put it down. And I kept going through my checklist going, whoa, look, I love a good checklist. You know I love a checklist.
I know. Should you laminate this?
I know. Look at it.
It is so pretty.
It's so pretty. All the different color X's.
Yeah.
And so I just got – and I'm like, look at me. I did January. Look at me. Oh, my word. I did February.
Yeah.
And I got into it so much I couldn't stop.
Okay.
I just couldn't stop. So I know we can't talk about it very much.
Right.
But I'm hoping – I felt – I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. But the language and stuff just was cracking me up. And you know how I wrote you
a
text. And can I tell everybody what you gave me for finishing it? Because
I gave mom a prize.
Anybody that's read any of the book, this is so funny. Annie said, Mom, I have a great gift for you for finishing and for conquering a classic. And I thought it was going to be the Conquer Classic t-shirt.
Oh, I should have. We haven't designed our Lonesome Dove one, so you'll get one.
I thought that would be so great, but no, it was it was a leather carrot-shaped bookmark. So I hope if anybody's read, and if you haven't, then now you've got to go read it.
Now you have to at least read the first 20, 50 pages.
You've got to go read it because I laughed so hard.
It was so funny.
I died laughing. I fell out of the chair. I was laughing so hard. So now I'm using that bookmark currently in my current read and just still die laughing over it.
Okay, so I do want to go back just briefly, and I'm trying desperately to avoid spoilers, but is Sam Elliott in Lonesome Dove?
No.
He's not. That's almost shocking.
When I looked it up, I was like, you, and then I had to change.
Yeah, just mentally, yes.
But Tommy Lee Jones is.
Yes.
But interestingly, he was actually a little young to play this part.
I know. Well,
thanks to Google.
Yeah.
And they made him look older.
Well, that's what I thought was funny is I would never have, I just said, I wish Tommy Lee Jones was in this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who I was picturing.
Well, he was great.
And then people DM'd me and they were like, Annie, ha ha ha, you're right.
Yeah.
But I still didn't know who he played.
Okay.
And I still am not 100%. I will just say that when you Google Lonesome Dove to do some research, as I have done, what pops up is a picture of white-haired Tommy Lee Jones.
Yes, and
I was
like 40 years old.
Yes. Well, and Tommy Lee Jones didn't have white hair until like recently.
Right.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, that's weird.
Yes. I do want to put in there too that Dad watched the miniseries.
Is it four episodes?
I think it's four.
Because I'll also put in a plug. I don't know if you would like it or not. I don't know what kind of language they use, but I listen to a lot of podcasts through a podcast network called The Ringer Network, and they have all kinds of different podcast shows, and one is called The Watch. And I don't listen to The Watch regularly, but they recap TV shows and things like that. But apparently, The Watch did a reread and rewatch of Lonesome Dove and like recapped the miniseries. Oh. And so I am going to listen to it after I finish the book.
Yes.
And if I like it, I'll tell you, like if it, because they do sometimes on this show use a lot of language.
Right.
And so you might not enjoy it as much, but I'm going to listen to it to see if I think you would like it.
Well,
because it might be a fun treat.
I've Googled enough to find out who was who. So in my motion picture that was going on in my head, I switched around, but Sam Elliott sort of always remained until I watched the miniseries.
Okay.
Okay, so I watched the miniseries after, and I had never seen it before, which is weird.
That
How
is
did
weird.
I miss this Western?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Dad watched it with me, and I'm just going to say, well done.
Okay, I'm excited.
Well done to me.
Because, you know, Hunter and I reward ourselves. Like, we read Count of Monte Cristo, and then he and Tyler came over and watched Count of Monte Cristo. And so we have still not rewarded ourselves. What did we read last year?
Bleak House.
Oh, God. Yeah. There is a mini series of Bleak House, but I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I have not. I've not felt the need.
You may need another kind of party.
Yeah. I have not felt the need. But I am very excited to watch the Lonesome Dove adaptation.
Oftentimes people will say, oh, nothing's as good as the book. Well, it can't last 858 pages, even in four installments. Well done.
Okay. I'm excited.
I loved it.
All right. Here, I do want to ask, because I felt like you were going to address this. I'm very proud of you for finishing it in like 6 weeks instead of, I think we are going to take about 10 months. We're going to do it through October. I tell people, and I told people this on Patreon, I used you as an example. I was like, if you want to go ahead and read through, and we had had people, when Hunter and I picked Lonesome Dove, we had several Patreon supporters who were like, you guys are going to want to read this faster. And I would like to say, I respect that. Mm-hmm. I also, and I've said this on our Patreon episodes, I have begun treating reading slowly almost like a spiritual practice.
Yes.
Because so much of my reading life is binging.
Yes.
It's reading. You know, I'm the opposite of you.
Exactly.
I am a very fast reader. Mm-hmm. And so it actually is beneficial to me to slow down. And unlike so far, knock on wood, but so far, unlike Bleak House, I have no trouble re-immersing myself in Gus and Call's
That's
story.
That's right. You can put this down and pick.
Yes.
And I, to be honest, was a little afraid of that. Mm-hmm. Will I come back to it?
Yeah.
But you could.
Okay.
And you can, and you're doing
and
it.
And that's what I thought, too. Again, read however you want. You know, finish it in 6 weeks. Finish it. I have, one of my friends had done a buddy read of this over a summer. And so you could do it over a summer. Hunter and I, this is just what we do.
I read it in four.
Sorry. Mom read it in four. 858 pages
in 4 weeks.
4 weeks. I mean, we've already decided, and I'm going to keep reading this at the pace decided upon.
Yes.
And I don't hate it that way. Like, it does not feel hard to me to put
Plus,
it down.
You have so
many other things to read.
And, and I really don't, except for keeping up with my shelf subscriptions,
right,
which can be
difficult. Yes, I think yours is hard.
And it turned out to be hard this month.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mostly just knew, well, here I am.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Well, and you did do it. And I don't know how you felt, but maybe this is coming off of Bleak House. Bleak House constantly felt like a chore. Mm-hmm. It felt like work, and that's okay. Like, I can work. That's fine. This has felt like a treat.
I didn't want it to end.
I have had a great time.
How weird. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
I was like, well, is there more? And yeah. Actually.
Yes, there is.
There is. This is number two in his three-part series.
But he started with this one.
Oh, really?
So he wrote.
A prequel.
Yes. Okay. That's right. So he wrote this one first. I learned this in my research last month. He wrote this one first, but it is technically, I think, book two in the series.
That's right.
And I will think, unless I'm just totally burned out in October, I think I will read other Larry McMurtry books. I have really, I like his writing.
Oh, his writing. I think he's funny. And it's.
This is a fun fact a customer told me. So Larry McMurtry is a famous Texas writer. He passed away a few years ago, but he owned a bookstore and he had a ton of books.
Oh, fun.
And either right before his death or after his death, his bookstore kind of closed. But Chip Gaines bought them all.
Of course.
And they used all of those books in their decorations of their hotel.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought that was really fun.
That was so sweet.
That he, like, kind of saved those books. I mean, you know, I would love for a bookstore still to be open, but that can't always be that can't always happen.
But how nice for someone who respected them enough to save them.
Yeah.
And then use them.
A customer told me that, so I haven't fact checked it, but I think that it's true.
Oh, I bet it's true.
I bet it's true too. So anyway, that's kind of fun.
It's like him even
more.
Yeah,
that's a fun fact.
So that kicked off January.
That was a big thing to kick off the month.
So since I read a lot of books in January.
You did. I mean, that we've kind of flew through your.
And this.
Yeah, your October, November, because we knew you'd read so many January. Yes.
So, and what happens to me when I read a good book, Annie?
You're a little,
what am I going
I was about to say,
next?
You're a little lost.
So this fall, Dad and I went to Kentucky, and we went to see the Eagles in concert.
Yes.
But we also did some other things. And one of the things we wanted to do was go visit where Wendell Berry's library is.
Yes.
So we did. And we bought lots of Wendell Berry books, which we both love, and gave some at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we love his writing a lot. So in his little store, I picked up Caddy Woodlawn. I've said this before, but Gretchen Rubin really turned me on to the idea of going back and rereading some of your favorite children's books.
She's an advocate for that.
And I love that. And so I saw Caddy Woodlawn.
Had you read it before?
Yes, as a little girl. I might have even been a book we read. You know how teachers used to read out loud to you after lunch, and you put your head on your desk and listen to your.
Wish people would do that now.
I know.
Wish people would do that for grown-ups.
Yes. So anyway, I grabbed this little paperback and I went, "Okay, this is going to be the ode to Gretchen Rubin for reminding me to read." I'm still looking for Boxcar Children.
Oh my gosh, the little girl in front of us at church had her copy of the Boxcar Children.
Okay. Do you have them in the store?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, because that's one of those were my favorites, which may be why you often want to go be a little orphan somewhere.
Well, I've made Ashley and Caroline and Chet play Boxcar Children with me. Yes. Lisa and Ray's back shed on Settlers Boulevard used to look like the boxcar. Yeah.
So I reread Caddy Woodlawn, and it was perfect.
Was it charming?
Yes.
Did it live up to your childhood expectations?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I loved it. And you know what? Old books are slower.
They totally are.
And it's like
so funny you say that.
I really am in love with old movies now, going backwards and watching old movies, especially at Christmas. It makes me do it. And
then
now Dad and I have this little thing that once a month or twice a month, we're going to find old movies. We watched Funny Girl the other night, which was so fun. And I'd never seen it.
Funny Girl or Funny Face?
Isn't it Funny Girl?
Which one?
Barbara Streisand?
Funny Girl. Funny Face is Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, so I loved this. It was slow. It was delightful.
I'd like to. So, okay, I'm just going to, I know I've talked about Shirley, my goddaughter. So she and I are in this book club together.
Yes.
And we just read Ballet Shoes by Noel Stretfield. She did not like it.
Ooh.
And I really didn't either. And I was disappointed because And I honestly don't know if I read those as a kid or not.
I don't remember you reading those as a kid.
I just know, obviously, that You've Got Mail. Yeah, reference. And it was my selection. We alternate selections. And Shirley is adopted. And so the main characters are three orphans.
Yes.
And so we did have a lot of conversations about that.
Okay.
But mostly what I thought was really interesting is the very first thing I asked Shirley, I said, well, what did you think about this book? Because it's the oldest one we've ever read together. Okay. We've read like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, uh-huh. Junie B. Jones.
Yep.
And she said, she's so fun and pretty smart, I think, because she said, there's just, she like kind of paused, there's just not a lot of action in these. And she said, Junie, and then she named, I can't even remember, she named the characters from Diary of a Wimpy Kid. She said, they're always doing something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, these girls just go to dance class. Like, and she wasn't wrong.
Right.
And it made me think, now I love Little Women. Mm-hmm. I don't know if an 8-year-old, 9-year-old. I loved it as an 8-9-year-old. But I don't know if a modern 8 or 9-year-old would. I'm not sure. Anne of Green Gables, I do think, has a lot happening.
Yes.
Like, I do think there are a lot of funny stories in there. But just you saying that Caddy Woodlawn moves a little slower just made me think about modern kid lit.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
And this is, you know, along the lines of Little House on the Prairie sort of books. But I will say that kids should read.
Yeah. And mix it in. Yeah, mix it in.
Because your imagination comes into, and Caddy Woodlawn was, I think she was a real person.
You think? Let me look at this. It's been a minute since I read this. But I liked Caddy Woodlawn as a kid, I remember. I can't tell, but this was published in 1935, which was the same year. 1936 was The Ballet Shoes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's funny because you did not read those books as a child.
I didn't think I did.
And I learned about them the same way you did in You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
So.
Fascinating.
Okay, then I had to get busy because I knew Erin would be calling me in the 1st of February to say, what is your March book?
Yeah.
Okay, as easy as January was.
March was hard.
March
was hard for me too.
And I read 4 or 5 books before I landed on the one I thought.
Wow. Yeah.
This is dedication.
That's true love for you shelf subscribers.
So, but I will say, if you're a little bit braver, you really can tolerate a little bit more, that this was a good book. It's called The Last Verse. Now, this isn't out yet. Will it come out in March?
Let me tell you that this podcast episode will also release in March. And so you might be okay. When does that book come out?
It just says March 24.
Okay. Well, this podcast episode releases mid-March. So go ahead. So it's out right now.
The Last Verse by Caroline Frost is about a young girl in Texas who has, her father was a singer, but he has died. Her mother has become this uber fundamentalist, tightly religious woman who has really put a lot of pressure and just a lot of restraints on her daughter. Anyway, so that's kind of the backset of it. And then Elvis Presley dies.
Oh.
And she gets a wild hair and says, I am going to Graceland.
Okay.
And so she does. Fed up. She takes her whatever money she's got. She gets a bus ticket and she goes to Graceland. And then from there, she winds up in Nashville and she is a songwriter.
Okay.
She writes songs. She takes her guitar with her and she goes to Nashville. You know what? We think of Nashville as just some country, wholesome. Well, I did growing up. Wholesome, Americana, just good old Tennessee, because it was, you know.
Well, back in the day,
And my mother was from nearby,
in
her small town nearby. And so we just thought Nashville was cool and neat and not like Hollywood.
Mm.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In this book, it is.
Well, and now it is.
It's super cutthroat. It's super hard.
Yeah.
It's super.
Especially if you're trying to make it.
Yes, and you're nothing, and you had nothing but your bus ticket, and then you wind
up. It's a little bit like, I don't know, somebody in Nashville's going to get real mad, but it feels like Los Angeles in the South. Like,
right. You just forget. I mean, I don't know anything about the music industry.
Oh, I don't either.
I'd have been at the Grand Ole Opry and stuff like that, but this kind of delves into, there's really a hard side of and she didn't really go to think she could break in, but she does become a songwriter.
Okay.
It's full of, it's really got great mystery in it.
Oh.
It's got a murder in it. More murder. It's not PG. It's not PG.
Okay, so is that the reason? Is that the reason you didn't pick it?
Yes. Okay. I just felt like there were scenes and stuff that I didn't feel true to people who are very super sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say that I was into this and liked it enough to finish it.
Okay, good.
So sometimes that happens to me.
Yeah.
I have to just overlook a few things and just
And
move
I was
on.
Gonna say you read outside of the PG-13 genre.
Yes.
But for shelf subscriptions, you are trying to adhere to the guidelines I have set forth.
Yes.
You're trying to be true to what we've promised customers. Yeah. And so that's why you didn't pick this one. But this actually does sound like a book Nancy would love. Nancy also typically reads.
She probably would like it. It really was good.
Okay.
And so I enjoyed that one very much.
I normally save my recommendations for the end of the episode, but because of this one's premise, I am just going to say, I just finished a book that I think you should take with you if you have time to just read something for
yes,
fun.
Yes, I'm caught up now.
Okay, so I just finished an ARC called Colton Gentry's Third Act.
Okay.
And it is about a country music star, fiction, a country music star who in grief over the loss of a friend and due to inebriation,
yes,
he spouts off about gun control, in favor of gun control, in front of a live audience of his fans.
Ooh.
And they quickly turn on him.
Okay.
And so the country music pulls his songs from the radio because of his, like, political stance.
Right.
And so he winds up going home to Venice, Kentucky, this small town in Kentucky. And he goes back home, lives with his mom, and winds up, like, working at a Southern restaurant mm-hmm. as his third act. And it's a really feel-good
okay.
story yep. of, like, somebody who's down on their luck
yep.
after the music industry.
Yep.
And there's some flashbacks to see what he was like as a teenager
okay.
and why he chose country music. But I think you'd like it. I finished it and thought, Mom would like this.
I think you would like this one because
okay.
it really does. You don't have time probably, mm-hmm. but I think you would like it because it definitely has some twist. I think what it did for me, because I still think Nashville's beautiful, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I still love Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it reminded me, gosh, did you ever think about the hard road?
Yeah.
Some of the people who have become big stars.
Mm-hmm.
What it was like to start out.
That's why
I
say.
She had absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And she wasn't really planning on doing that. She wound up being a nanny.
Uh-huh.
She wound up, and then she met different young men who probably took some advantage of her talent
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So, and then she really was robbed of mm-hmm. one of her songs.
I see. Well, that's why I say. I was teasing, but also not. Like, that's why Nashville reminds me of the L.A. of the
yeah.
South. Because in Los Angeles, that is a town built around an industry.
Right.
And so Nashville is more or less built around an industry.
Yes.
And you have a lot of people who come to Nashville just like they go to L.A. or
right.
go to New York to try to make it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it reminds me a little bit of Los Angeles. I mean, it also feels like traffic and infrastructure-wise. It's starting to feel like that. But that is it's a town where people go to make their dreams come true.
Right.
And it's hard.
And it's very hard.
Yeah.
And I think that was, even though this obviously is fiction, it really was a reminder of, oh my goodness, it's just like any kind of big star, football,
mm-hmm.
any sports star,
mm-hmm. movie.
Not many make it.
That's right. It's a super tiny percentage.
We think you do, that mm-hmm. a lot do, but really it's a very small
yeah.
percentage. So I really did like that book.
Okay.
And I recommend it for anybody who can handle a little bit more graphic things
okay.
than some of the other ones.
Okay. What
so
next?
So then, I thought this was going to be, can I, you know what? I don't ever want to come on and go, well.
You ew. Know what? We don't want you to come on and say, ew, either. but what I frequently say, because I know how you felt about this book, but what I will say is, and frequently it's true, right? Books are subjective.
Right.
So just because I don't like something
right.
doesn't mean another reader won't like it. So I might say, good for somebody else, wasn't for me.
Right.
And that is always fair.
Well,
not every book is going to be for
everything.
Us.
That's
right.
This was, as a matter of fact, first of all, I thought this is too thin for me
she
to
was.
Recommend.
Well, tell me the name of it.
Notes from the Porch. If anybody knows anything about me, I live on my porch.
That,
I love my
that is porch. Why the podcast name is From the Front Porch.
And we did all of our family counseling.
All of our talking.
All of our talking was on the porch swing.
Yes.
So I do a lot of my reading on my porch swing.
And I saw this book because I knew you were struggling with a March selection.
Yep.
So I found this. It is a thin little book, contrast to Lonesome Dove.
Did we mention 858?
How many pages is this? Like 50? It looks so short.
130.
Okay. This is a short little book. So mom was already worried about too thin.
Okay. This is
she wants people to get their money's worth. and I told her, I said, that's long enough to be a shelf subscription, but.
Well, and it says in smaller print, tiny true stories to make you feel better about the world. And it was written by a man who is president of a small university and a writer. And so he's basically kind of telling stories, short stories, about when he was confined at his home in Vermont during the pandemic.
During the pandy.
So I really thought there have been so many heartwarming stories from neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what this was going to be.
Yeah.
And maybe to some people that's partly, occasionally, maybe what this could be.
Okay.
But most of all, it wasn't for me.
It was not for you.
I was expecting more. First of all, there was language.
Which was surprising.
I'm like, come on. Come on. Tiny true stories to make you feel better about life. Not everybody talks like that. And I wanted my tiny true stories to be very heartwarming and, you know, feel almost like it could be on a little evening news where they try to end on a high note.
Oh, like the good news
through the mud for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be a little more like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just little essays.
Vignettes. Okay.
And he is lots of times on his porch.
All right.
But, you know, there's, you know, bicycle boy number one. And then some more, and then bicycle boy number two. And so there's nothing wrong. But
no,
I felt
there's
like
not.
For me to recommend it as a shelf subscription, so maybe I can preface it like that, I didn't feel like that was the one. So now—
Not shelf subscription worthy. Was it?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't. It just wasn't the heartwarming community, what I was expecting from the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay? That's fair.
So it's decent, but it wasn't what I was expected. So moving on. Expiration dates.
Okay. Now, this is the new Rebecca Searle.
Mm-hmm.
Erin just talked about this on last week's podcast episode or two.
Okay, great.
And she liked it.
I did too.
But it's interesting. I have seen, so you talked to me about this book a little bit.
Yep.
And then somebody I follow on Instagram posted some screenshots of this book, not loving it, which I thought was interesting. So I think this is going to be a book that either hits you, like you either love it or you don't.
You know what I'm going to say this, because I think sometimes you can read so many, like from November and December.
Right.
I read quite a few rom-coms, which is not typically.
That's actually not your thing.
That's not typically what I read.
No, it's not.
And I read them because I'd met the authors and I loved them and I loved their books.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of this one was about timing for me.
That's true. That happens to me too. Like where a book could have been really good if I just hit it on a different month.
And I just thought, no, I want to do another one that was—
Because you had just read so much
in
this
lot.
Category.
Exactly.
And Erin likes this author. Erin read, did you read One Italian Summer? I think that was her previous book.
Oh, wait a minute. Did I read that?
You might.
No.
Oh, did you not? So Erin
read
that
a book
one.
About Italy. Remember, it's a beautiful book. You didn't love it, but you gave it to me. And
when in Rome? No.
It was something about Rome.
It was the one about the nun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Anyway, so this one. Now, I did think the premise of this was interesting.
It's cute.
Because there is a book out that's been super popular. Like, it's been on the bestseller list forever, called The Measure. And it's like, you get a slip of paper or something that tells you the day of your death.
Oh.
And you get to choose mom's face.
Oh. And now I say ew.
Yeah. And you get to decide like if you read the piece of paper or not or whatever.
Okay.
So it's a popular book amongst book clubs and things like that because it lends itself to discussion. And Erin was saying that this book is kind of like that, but for love and relationships.
Okay.
Where you like get this.
Yes.
Slip of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something would happen. She'd get this little note and it would be 3 months.
With the guy's name.
And it would be, and then she would meet this person, and it would last 3 months.
I don't think I'd like that. I think I'd never date, probably.
And so, but she keeps, well, it's interesting how it comes back around.
Uh-huh.
So I...
Did you finish it?
I'm not quite finished. I'm finishing it, but I'm not quite finished with it.
I just was curious, because I knew you ultimately had decided not to pick this one.
And I really want to be clear to say that I think for me personally, I didn't pick it as a shelf subscription because I just felt like I had just read a lot.
I understand
of
that
books like this, and I wanted to be challenged and to read something else.
I was going
to
say, and it may just have been like that's almost sound. And when Aaron described it to me, and you talked to me about it, it sounds like a great beach bag book.
It does. It sounds. Yeah. It's probably would be another great summer read. And so I just couldn't. It was hard for me to get into.
Yeah.
And I just felt like there would be something for me. Better for my shelf subscription for March.
And if you are like me, and I think we are similar, shelf subscriptions do feel like the whole point of shelf subscription is this is my favorite book I read this month.
Right.
Well, that's pressure.
Yes.
And so you do feel like it needs to be a book that you feel pretty strongly about.
Yeah.
And now I will be very honest. Some months are easier than others.
Yes.
March was not an easy month for me.
January is terrible.
Now
usually.
I wound up... December is often bad, too. But I wound up the book that I chose for March, which we are well into March now as of this, so you can say. But the book that I picked was Anita DeMonte Laughs Last. And it was a book that took me about 70 pages to get into.
Okay.
And so I was worried.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of my only option, really, based on, also, we have to base it on what ARCs we get.
Like, I know.
Like, we're kind of limited. So anyway, but I wound up picking it because I did really like it. But I was worried at first because there is pressure that it's supposed to be a book Annie loves.
Right.
Like, it can't just be a book, I kind of liked this.
Just why I couldn't pick Notes from the Porch.
Yeah. Because
it was not horrible.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It just wasn't my favorite
wasn't
book.
Shelf subscription material.
You composed.
Okay,
but
so what'd you pick?
Guess what?
You found one.
I found one. And it was one of the first ones you gave me. And I was like, Panama Canal.
This is a... listen, I have recorded fairly recently with Erin. And she talked about this book. And she said she was thrilled you picked it as your shelf subscription because she read it and loved it. But she started her description by saying... Who wants to read a book about the Panama Canal? And I died laughing because I was like, that is exactly what Mom said. Mom was like, I did not want to read a book about the Panama Canal, but you loved it.
I loved it. And...
Oh, what's it called?
Okay, The Great Divide. And let's just say that I love a pretty cover.
And it is a beautiful
it
cover.
It is. For the topic, it is so
You're
going
to want
beautiful.
To own this one, I think.
I think I am going to want to own this one. It's just a lovely cover. And it's by Christina Enriquez. I loved it.
Good.
I loved it. It's about the building of the Panama Canal, which I'm going to be honest, have never thought about in my life.
This is exactly what we said. Because there's a lot of things in history. Like, for example...
It's just always been there.
Yes. And there are history mysteries. You know what I mean? Like, I still think about probably every... Probably my Roman Empire is... Amelia Earhart. Like, I think about Amelia Earhart all the time.
Right.
Like, what happened to her? What happened at Roanoke? Like, I have a lot of questions. But I don't ever think, wonder how the Panama Canal got built. Like, I admit that that is not something I think very often about.
I had to really think about.
Which probably shows, by the way, our American-centric.
It does.
Yeah.
Because I had to, I'm just going to confess, I had to get out my map and go, okay, well, what was the big deal? Well, the big
deal. It was a big deal. For the global economy.
But see, and then what about the big deal to the people?
Yes.
And so this book is, it's fiction, but it's beautiful in its depiction of how this affected different people, how it affected the fisherman trying to make a living, how he felt about Americans coming in to build this.
Yep.
Also, there's a lot to make you think about how Americans go in thinking they're rescuing and saving all these
people. I was about to say, we're the best, and we just want to... Yeah.
And so it really made me look at that like, oh, okay, that's what people are talking about when they say that.
That American exceptionalism or white savior.
Because people are thinking, go home and mind your own business. We were happy. That's my village. Now, since my mother was from a close Winchester, but was born in Owl Hollow, mm-hmm. which is pronounced Owl Holler. That's the truth.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way.
And so I never knew till I was an adult that it was adorable Owl Hollow, which was flooded by the Thames Ford Dam.
Uh-huh.
For the Tennessee
Valley TVA.
Tennessee mm-hmm. Valley Authority.
Yeah.
So her home place, and I remember being taken as a young teenager before they, well, I don't even know if I was a teenager, a kid, before mm-hmm. they flooded it. Mm-hmm. We went down in there, down in the hollow, and could see the old home. And those were people being booted out
mm-hmm.
for progress. And so that kind of brought that back to me, like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't, you know, we do that here mm-hmm. on our own soil.
Yeah.
And we do it in other places. Mm-hmm. It was really wonderful to read about, like, the fisherman who was totally against it. His young son was thinking, hot dog, I got a chance.
Right. Because there might be a generational difference, too.
To do something different. But then changed his mind.
Oh, interesting.
Then we had the doctors coming in to try to cure, it wasn't malaria, but anyway, trying to cure diseases mm-hmm. and coming here to where all these mosquitoes and everything were so they could try to eradicate that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really just a great book. I couldn't hardly put it down. And I really liked all the characters. And it was very good. It definitely fits in with PG, PG-13.
Good.
And I think people are gonna like it.
You persevered and you found one.
I did. And how many times did it take me? The last verse, expiration dates, note from the porch. This was my fourth one.
Fourth time's the charm.
So that's why I read so many books.
Yeah.
In January and February.
Well, that was a very lengthy list, and now customers can find all of Shop Mom's selections and reads on our store website. So if you go to bookshelfthomasville.com and type today's episode number in the search bar, that's episode 468, then you will see all of Shop Mom's selections listed there. And if you purchase a Shop Mom book, you can get 10% off your order by using the code SHOPMOMSELECTS. So all one word, Shop Mom Selects, and that will get you 10% off your order of all of Shop Mom's picks. I hope you enjoy shopping this way. Thanks, Mom.
We need to be done, but I do just want to say my other recommendation for you. I'm listening right now to Savannah Guthrie's new book.
Oh, I want that book.
Okay.
I know I'm going to love it and love the title
you
of
are.
Her.
I am listening to it, and I told Jordan.
My word of the year is glimmers.
I think you're going to love this. I read a lot of books by people who are rightly being critical or thoughtful or academic, mm-hmm. even maybe about faith or church mm-hmm. or religion or God or Jesus or whatever. I have found her book to be such a delightful solace. Oh. And I'm listening to it, but I think you'll like the physical book. But I mentioned this on a reading recap episode a couple weeks ago. One of the things I like about the audiobook is she reads an essay and then she says, 30 seconds starting now. And it's silence and she gives you space.
You're trying to make me cry.
I just think it's so lovely.
It is.
And so anyway, that is my other, I keep listening to it going, Mom is going to love this book.
Well, and, maybe I'll buy the book and listen to it.
And I have loved it. I mean, I really have. I found it really soothing. So anyway, that's my other recommendation for you.
This week, What I Am Reading is brought to you by the 103rd Annual Rose Show and Festival here in Thomasville, Georgia. Held in historic downtown Thomasville, the Rose Show and Festival is sponsored by the City of Thomasville and has been a Southwest Georgia tradition since 1922. Enjoy rose and flower shows, live music, an artisan market, an antique car show, a parade, and fantastic shopping and dining in downtown Thomasville. This year's 103rd annual event is April 26th and 27th. Plan your visit at thomasvillega.com. So a lot of people, I feel like, wonder, well, what exactly is Rose Show? I had those questions when I first moved to Thomasville. And I will tell you that over the years, I have participated in more and more Rose Show events. It's hard to do. As a business owner downtown, you wind up kind of working in your business. But I've been able to do a few things over the years. And I'm going to try to highlight each of those over the next few weeks as we talk about Rose Show together. So first of all, there is an opening ceremonies of sorts at the Rose Tent.
So the rose tent is actually diagonal from the bookshelf. So we get to start seeing it erected a couple of weeks before the festival. And it always kind of generates the sense of excitement among the staff. Like, we know Rose Show weekend is coming when the tent starts to go up for the roses. And it's literally a flower show. So I'll tell you more about the rose tent. But every Friday afternoon of Rose Show and Festival, the Thomasville High School band comes down and their drum line plays. And it is the most delightful, like, small town ribbon cutting fun thing. I mean, we will come out of our stores, and we're not the only ones. Lots of people on Broad Street come out of their stores and watch, and we all clap and cheer as the rose tent is kind of unveiled and opened for the festival weekend. It's just, I love opening and closing ceremonies. I think they're important in events and in life. And it is just a lovely opening ceremony that is Friday afternoon. And it kind of lets us, even as a staff, know, okay, it's starting. And if you have a chance in our downtown on April 26th, you will get the chance to see that and to participate in that alongside us. This week, I'm reading Reading Genesis by Marilyn Robinson. Mom, what are you reading?
I'm reading The Wonderful World of James Herriot. I got it as a Christmas gift. It's a beautiful cover.
It is really
it
pretty.
It is such a good book. And if you aren't watching All Creatures Great and Small on PBS, go do it and then write me and tell me how much you love it.
Thank you again to our sponsor, the 103rd Annual Rose Show and Festival here in Thomasville, Georgia. From the Front Porch is a weekly podcast production of The Bookshelf, an independent bookstore in Thomasville, Georgia. You can follow The Bookshelf's daily happenings on Instagram at BookshelfTville, and all the books from today's episode can be purchased online through our store website, bookshelfthomasville.com. A full transcript of today's podcast episode can be found at FromTheFrontPorchPodcast.com. Special thanks to Studio D Podcast Production for production of From the Front Porch and for our theme music, which sets the perfect warm and friendly tone for our Thursday conversations. Our executive producers of today's episode are Cami Tidwell, Linda Lee Drost, Martha, Stephanie Dean, Ashley Farrell, Jennifer Bannerton,
Nicole Marcy,
Wendy Jenkins,
Susan Eulings.
Thank you all for your support of From the Front Porch. If you'd like to support From the Front Porch, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your input helps us make the show even better and helps us reach new listeners. All you have to do is open up the podcast app on your phone, look for From the Front Porch, scroll down until you see Write a Review, and tell us what you think. Or if you're so inclined, support us over on Patreon, where we have three levels of support. Each level has an amazing number of benefits like bonus content, access to live events, discounts, and giveaways. Just go to patreon.com/from the front porch. We're so grateful for you, and we look forward to meeting back here next week.